your Bibles. Open up to Matthew chapter 2. Okay. Father, we just praise you and thank you for the revelation we can gain in your word. Help us to dig in your word and gather up the gold nuggets, the rubies, and the precious pearls. And help us to spread that wealth according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Matthew 2. I'm going to read verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came the wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." Okay, skip down to verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. This being that time, the time we have celebrated the Lord's birth, but there's a time which the Catholics celebrate, and I can't entirely erase Catholicism out of me, because honestly that's where I first heard about Jesus. But there's a time called Epiphany, which the Catholics celebrate, and actually it's January 6th, which is coming up next Sunday. But I believe the Lord wanted me to speak about Epiphany today. Not necessarily this Epiphany that the Catholics celebrate, but I will say this, it is celebrated as the feast of the time of the first manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. These were not Jews who came to worship the Lord. These were Gentiles. And they recognized this child as the King of the Jews, the King from heaven. Surely they knew there was something special about this child, more than simply being of an earthly throne, because they followed that star. So they recognized there's something different about this child, something celestial, something spiritual. So this, as I said, the Catholics celebrate as the first manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. And praise God, we are no more Gentiles, but we are the church. Hallelujah. Now in the dictionary, if you look up the word Epiphany, it will talk about the fact that that is the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. But it also means an awakening, a revelation of simple knowledge or a simple solution which had previously been masked or hidden. I mean, all of us have had a light bulb go off in our head and say, "Oh my gosh, how come I didn't see that before?" That's an epiphany. Okay, that is a revelation. So I believe I had an epiphany this morning in what the Lord wanted me to say to you all today. So now, let's go over to Colossians. I love those. The sound of the sacred pages being turned. Colossians 1 and verse 9. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That we be enlightened unto the knowledge of his will. How many wars, how many terrible atrocities could have been avoided if people who claim to be from God and in his will would actually have sought his will and had real knowledge of his will? That's all I want. I want knowledge of his will, that I may walk worthy of him, fully pleasing him. I think that's the highest goal, in my opinion, a Christian can attain, is to know his will and do it. And so often we have questions. God, is this your will? Is this what you want me to do? This pastor says, don't do anything. You cannot do anything until you pray, or at least you shouldn't do anything until you pray, but you can do anything after you've prayed, as long as it's in the will of God. So, Lord, let us always be in your will, fully pleasing you. How do we get into his knowledge? How do we get the knowledge of his will? Prayer is definitely one way. We need to go to him prayerfully and humbly, making sure we're not trying to push our own agenda. And that can be hard, because we have to make sure we go to him, like I said, humbly, without pride, taking unto our mind, our will, and our emotions the knowledge we might not be right. We might not be correct in this thing we want to do. And it may not be because it's something that is wrong to do. It just simply may be that it's not in God's timing, or it's not the way God wants it to be brought about. So we need to seek him in prayer. And something that has helped me over the years of my growth as a Christian is that he shared with me peace. When you truly are doing God's will, the way you can know that is you'll have peace from the Holy Spirit. And so that's what he told me. He said, follow the peace of the Holy Spirit. The enemy tried to tell me, follow your heart. You have a good heart, Karen. Follow your heart. But see, then the word of God directed me. No. In Jeremiah, he tells us the heart of man is evil, and in it is every unclean thing. So we got to get that right out. We don't need to follow our hearts. We need to follow the peace of the Holy Spirit. How do we attain that peace? Well, he tells us. I just love how God tells us everything we need to know if we just get in his word, if we just mine it. And just a couple of pages back, or only one page back if you're in my Bible, he tells us how. In chapter 4, how do we have this peace of God? How do we have the peace of the Holy Spirit? Well, here we have what I love to call the scripture sandwich. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay, there it is. The peace of God will keep our hearts and minds. Well, how do we do that? And it passes all understanding. That's wonderful. Okay, well, this is why it's a sandwich. You've got to look at the verse before it and after it. That's the bread. Okay, we've got the meat and the cheese right there in verse 7. What's the bread? Verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing. What does that word careful mean? Does it mean watch your step? Well, sort of. But it also means don't worry. Don't proceed anxiously. When you have a need, act like you're going to a God who can meet that need, because you are. In fact, he tells us in verse 19 of this same chapter, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This chapter is one of my favorite chapters of the whole Bible. So full of rich, good meat. But I'm going to focus on verse 7 and the bread around it. Be careful for nothing. So don't worry. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In everything. I love the enunciation, because sometimes you can get a point across simply by enunciating. And there's a scene in that movie, Sandlot, and the kid, he talks about this dog, this monster gorilla dog, and the dog is too good at his job. He's a junkyard dog, and he's too good because all the thieves that had been coming into that junkyard and stealing parts, they started disappearing. And the kid says, it was 1, 2, 37 guys. And the thieves were disappearing, and all the families of the thieves were complaining because their family was disappearing, so they had to lock up the dog. And then he asks the chief of police, how long do you have to lock up the dog? And the chief told him, forever. Forever. And he got the point across with some pretty clear enunciation. So I say to you, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In everything. It is so important to remember our God is a big God. You're not going to give thanks to somebody who can't help you out. So you got to remember, our God is a big God. He is bigger, as the song says. He's bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla and those monsters on TV. And he's watching out for you and me. In everything. So no matter what is going on, as Eddie so eloquently shared before the recording began today, she started out 2018 with cancer, which they were saying was quite serious. I mean, am I mistaken when I say they were trying to tell you it was terminal? It was terminal. And she says that she's ending 2018 with no cancer. Hallelujah. Praise to God. She, in everything, in the midst of the big C, John Wayne quoted that name for it, by the way, in the midst of the big C, she was giving thanks to God. I want to testify of the joy this woman held on to during this fight. The joy of the Lord is our strength, as it says in Nehemiah. And that joy strengthened Eddie. And she gave thanks to God. She made her requests for health known to God. And that cancer was eradicated. She's cancer free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's the top piece of the bread. Don't worry. Go to God with thanksgiving in everything. And then in verse 8, the base of the sandwich, the foundation, if you will. Finally, brethren, in verse 8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So when you have a problem, when you're in the midst of the problem, are you supposed to think about the problem? It doesn't say, think about that problem. Think about cancer. Think about finances and lack. No, it says, think about things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy. Think about those things. Cancer is not pure. Lack is not just. Fear is not lovely. Don't think about those things. Think about these things. Think about the God who is the personification of all of these things. God is true. God is honest. God is just. God is pure. God is lovely. God is of good report. God is virtuous, and God is certainly praiseworthy. Hallelujah. Think about God. Again, like the song says, God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla and the monsters on TV. VeggieTales, give you a plug right there. God is bigger than anything, and he is watching out for you and me, no matter what it is coming upon you. Whether it is a flood of fear, doubt, and unbelief, remember the God who parted the waters. Whatever's flooding you, you can say to it, like Jesus said to the storm, peace, be still. That same power is in you. The power who raised Jesus from the dead is alive in you. The same power which parted that Red Sea is in you. You can say to your storm, peace, be still. Because God said so. So go to him. Go to him without worrying. God, I got this thing. I'm not going to let it get the best of me. I'm coming to you because I know that's where I got to go. When the groceries are getting low, you go to the grocery store. When you got a flat tire, you head over to the tire store. When you've got a need, no earthly way to meet it, you go to God. Because he meets all of those needs, right? And he tells you, right here in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Like I said, chapter 4, full of great stuff. Full of great stuff. Hallelujah. So when you want to know his will for you, follow the peace of the Holy Spirit. And you get that peace by not worrying, by making your requests known to God with thanksgiving, And by not thinking about it, don't think about that problem. Once you've brought it to God and thanked him, he's got it, let it go. Leave it with him. And think about these things in verse 8. Think about the fact that God's got it. That's true. Think about the fact that God is bigger than your problem. That sure is honest. Think about the fact that God sees you through the blood of Christ. That's his justice. Think about the fact that you are written. Your name is written not only in the Lamb's book of life, but he tells us our names are written in the palm of his hand. I like to think that those nails he took carved our name in his hand. That is pure. And that suffering Jesus took is turned to joy for the fact that his suffering saved us and snatched us out of the enemy's hand. That is lovely. He even thinks we are lovely. He says so in Song of Solomon 2:14. That's God's Valentine to us, as Jill, our friend, said. Jill Farnick, we love you. He says to us, your face is lovely and your voice is sweet. Hallelujah. That's what God says about us. That is a good report, that God thinks you're pretty wonderful. If there be any virtue, we have virtue through Jesus. Nothing we can do makes us virtuous, but we receive it and we get it through the sacrifice of Jesus. And that is praiseworthy. Think on those things. Hallelujah. Think about that. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Shall. Okay, that's not just it will. Like, remember to turn the Christmas lights off. I will. And you forget. I shall. Shall means it is done. It's finished. He said it, so it's going to come to pass. Shall means it's it. That's a done deal. That's a signed contract that cannot be broken. It's done. Hallelujah. And in doing that, in following the peace of the Holy Spirit, there is where you walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. When we are fruitful to every good work, we increase in the knowledge of God. So when you get in his word, it bears fruit. And you increase in the knowledge of God. And so that is a wonderful cycle that continues and continues as you continue seeking his will, seeking knowledge of his will. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Seeking after his righteousness. Go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. You know that when we were reading in Philippians 4:6, it said, be careful for nothing. Jesus spoke of that here. Don't be anxious for anything. Don't worry about what you're going to wear or what you're going to eat. And then he ends this up by saying, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things shall be added unto you. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness is his way of doing things, seeking after his will. And he tells us his will. People think it's such a mystery. A better way to seek his will than following after the peace of the Holy Spirit, an even better way is to look in his word. You'll find his will in his word. He told us, if you love me, you follow my commandments. And then he made it simple. Yeah, in Exodus and Leviticus, we get all kinds of commandments, not just 10. There are hundreds. But that was to show us our need for a Savior. How do we live like we love our Savior? We follow his commandments. And he gave us just 2. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Before you do a thing, ask yourself, is this lovely? Is this something that is an act of love? And the perfect litmus test for that is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Think about the thing you want to do and then put it in there in place of the word love. We can go there right now. 1 Corinthians 13. Chapter 4. We talked about long-suffering. That's the first thing mentioned in verse 4. Charity, or love, suffers long and is kind. Is this thing you want to do, or are you long-suffering and kind? Is it kind toward your neighbor to do this thing, whatever it is you may be thinking? Is it envious? Is it puffing itself up? Is it vaunting itself? Is it unseemly? Is it seeking your own? Whatever this thing is you're wanting to do or planning to do, or even if it's a knee-jerk reaction to something, you can examine it later on and put it to the test of 1 Corinthians 4 through 8. Check it against that list. And if it fails in any respect, then you know you've fallen short. And the beauty of our God, as I said in Bible study this morning, in Sunday school, I said, I believe his glory is his mercy. Whoops. And he is merciful unto us to forgive us. He tells us that in 1 John. As we confess our sins honestly and sincerely, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So this is how we can follow his will, by getting in his word. And people are like, oh, it's so long. There's so much. You know way more. How I can't do that. Well, guess what? I used to not know any of this. When I went to college and a friend invited me to go to her non-denominational church, I was sitting there as the pastor said, go to 1 Corinthians 13. I was like, Corinthians? I didn't even know there was a Corinthians. What? And so I had to go to the table of contents and find the page number. And then I was flipping. I'm still flipping my pages while everybody else has already read the thing. It's embarrassing, sure. But you just got to suck it up. You just got to be like John Wayne. Pilgrim, you just got to go on. You just got to keep moving on. Keep moving forward. That's a Walt Disney quote, too, by the way. Walt Disney was a man of prayer. Did you know that? He said, keep moving forward. And so that's what you do. Don't go back in ignorance. Don't let your embarrassment keep you out of the Word because you don't know it. As we studied in Sunday school today, be not ignorant. Don't be ignorant. If you don't want to be ignorant, you're going to have to do some work. You're going to have to study. You're going to have to get in here and dig out the nuggets and the jewels. And then someday you will be a scholar, a biblical scholar. Am I calling myself one of those? Yeah, because a scholar is nothing more than a student. The second you begin studying the Bible, you are a Bible scholar. And maybe there's somebody who knows a lot more about it than you do, but you're still a Bible scholar as much as they are. You just might be in kindergarten while they're in high school. But I've seen some kindergartners who behave better than high schoolers. It's all about the application of what you learn. So, to know His will, to walk in the knowledge of His will, so we may fully please Him. That's what I want to do. And so, it helps me to have short scriptures to be able to remember. Things that can really concentrate the Word of God. Concentrate them. Condense them like Campbell's soup. How many of us ever actually dilute Campbell's, by the way? Do you actually add the can of water to that? I never did. Till one day I read it and I said, you're supposed to add water to this. I never knew that. Well, you're supposed to not be afraid. You're supposed to rejoice evermore and pray without ceasing and in everything give thanks. I didn't know that till I read it. Right there in 1 Thessalonians. Yes, I had to look at the top of the page to make sure. I told you I'm a Bible scholar. That just means I'm a student of the Word. I had to look up and make sure I'm in 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5. Verses 16 through 18. There, right there, and it even says so in the Word, is the will of God. You want to know that you're walking in God's will and pleasing Him? Do these three things. Rejoice evermore. Verse 16. Hallelujah. Just rejoice in Him. Pray without ceasing. Does that mean you're supposed to be on your knees? Our Father who art in heaven all the time? No, you can't do that. But what that means is you keep the lines of communication open. You're always open to hearing from the Lord. His Holy Spirit will reveal things to you out of the blue, and you'll be amazed, and you'll get that epiphany I talked about earlier. And you'll just be full of wonder. And you'll be wanting to share with people. You'll be wanting to share it with people, and they'll be looking at you like, huh? Just be aware. Sometimes these epiphanies are for you alone, okay? Am I telling you not to share it? No way. Excuse me, but I am telling you, be prepared. Sometimes you're not going to get, hallelujah, that's great. Sometimes you're going to get, okay. And don't be discouraged by that. Just keep on in the Word. Keep on in prayer. Keep that line of prayer open. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. That's verse 18. Again, I'm in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16, 17, and 18. Here's verse 18. In everything, give thanks. Here you go. This is it. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How do you know how to walk in the will of God? Right there it is in print. And Peter tells us this word, which you hold in your hand or have in your lap, this word It's better knowledge than if Jesus himself were to come and stand here and talk to you. Peter tells us that this word is a better testimony than Jesus himself standing here. Rejoice evermore. Hallelujah. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and me. Hallelujah. I thank you, God, you tell us how to do it. I wish the people who had done the Holy Crusades, so-called Holy Crusades, and so many more, would have just gotten the word and to find out what he really wants. Lots of suffering would have been prevented if people would have just followed what God says. Don't get me started on Adam and Eve. But listen, always, always, always rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. To put it in a nutshell, like I do for my wonderful, precious people at the nursing home, rejoice, pray, and give thanks. That's four words. That's all of it right there in four words. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks. And you will be walking in the will of God, fully pleasing him. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks. You make it simple for us. We praise you, God, as we get in this word prayerfully and thankfully. You open up new horizons to us and give us revelation and epiphany, which brighten not only our lives, but the lives of those to whom we can share it. Glory to you, God, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.